All right, let's welcome in Chris Stewart now. As you know, he is the voice for Crimson Tide football, at least until Eli Gold recovers and is able to get back and broadcast. And Chris did a marvelous job on the game this past Saturday, in which Alabama won 55-0, which is not an easy game to broadcast. You got to go to your B and your C material for sure. But Chris, welcome to the show. Good morning. How are you today?
Guys, I'm great. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, we appreciate having you on. Let me ask you this, that nice reference you made to Eli early on, did you hear from Eli's family at all on that?
I did. I talked to Eli himself the next day, and just good to hear his voice and good to hear him sounding stronger and grateful that he was able to give me a call and appreciate the fact that he would want to.
That's wonderful. So you get a game like that, and you've done football games before. I think you were doing Samford football for a while, weren't you, way back?
No, I've done football since 1989. I did my first high school game while I was still a college sophomore at Montevallo. And with the exception of about maybe 3-4 years sprinkled throughout that time, I've done football at least a handful of games every season since 1989. But I've never done Samford. I think I may have done a game or two on television with them, but never actually broadcast their games on a regular basis.
So when you get a one-sided game like this, do you really start resorting to your B material as filler after the game gets kind of out of hand?
Yeah, and you know, it's where you're grateful that it's radio, because with radio, those games are easier to do than television, because you are still describing what happens. You still have to call the play, regardless of whether it has meaning on the impact or the outcome or not. So you're still having to paint the picture of everything that transpires for the listener. That part doesn't change. You understand your audience may be depleting by the second, but at the same time, you've still got an obligation to describe everything that's happening as it happens. So in that regard, to me, that radio is an easier medium than television in terms of filling time, if you will.
Did Texas send out a depth chart this week?
I did not get a Texas depth chart, so we'll be guessing like everybody else, but a pretty good idea who's going to be the quarterback anyway.
For sure. Did Alabama send out a depth chart this week?
Yeah.
Alabama sent out a depth chart. It's in their game notes this week.
Chris Stewart's our guest here on WNSP. So you talk about, you know, during a broadcast, other things will come up. How much, because there's so many storylines related to these two programs that are meeting on Saturday, how much of that are you kind of prepared to get into? Or are you kind of hoping that the game is just so competitive and so good you don't get to any of that type of stuff?
Yeah, I'll tell you the first one that jumps off the page to me, and I mean literally the page, you've got a roster page they do send out in their notes, and it's got a picture of all the assistant coaches.
Yeah.
And I'm going through and I go, okay, Jeff Banks, yeah, he wasn't wearing an orange tie a couple of years ago. Bo Davis, we've seen him in crimson. Same with Kyle Flood. A.J. Milwee, I remember him. He was a backup quarterback at Alabama. And I may be leaving off somebody, but there's at least four members of the actual coaching staff, not to mention the head coach himself, obviously, and Steve Sarkisian, who have all been in that Alabama locker room and sung the fight song after an Alabama win at some point. So a lot of familiarity, and you know, that's one of the easy storylines to go with, in addition to there being a name or two that is or was anyway on the Texas roster that had a former Alabama guy on there as well.
I'm certainly hoping they take care of you with a nice seat in the press box. They certainly didn't cater to the Alabama marching band.
No, I got a feeling we'll have a view somewhere.
That's a good sign. So, okay, Mark started in about some of the priorities in this game. What are some of the storylines besides the coaches, the assistant coaches?
You know, I think Alabama's ability to put pressure on Quinn Ewers and obviously a young man who started his career at Ohio State and now winds up in Austin, a former South Lake Texas native. And his ability to buy some time, or the offensive front time, to ability to give him some time to throw the football, because I think Alabama's defense is still the story as it relates to Bama. I thought the offense was very good, and it was fun to see, what did I count, maybe 11 guys who had catches, and three of those that had five or more for Alabama offensively. It's good to see balance. It's good to see the big play capability. But the story to me is still the defense and how good they appear to be early, and how salty I think they can be overall. And if they can't affect Ewers, then he may be able to have some success early and gain some confidence. And that's obviously not something you want to see.
You know, Chris, I caught some of the Nick Saban show, and you guys did your player profile, and Nick Saban, who I think rarely gives praise of that nature to that extreme, just couldn't say enough nice things about his senior kicker.
Yeah, Will Reichard's a really good story. And it's kind of how I started the interview off with Coach. I said, I think this is the first time, Coach, easily that I can say that we've ever done a player feature of somebody who I held as a baby.
Yeah.
But Will Reichard's family and my family used to go to the same church. Will's dad, who passed away when he was just a freshman in high school, was a wonderful guy. Really, really good man and a wonderful dad who I can still picture Gary holding Will as a baby. And Will was kind of a chunk as a kid. And if you notice, he's a good sized kid for a kicker, I'll put it that way. You know,
yeah.
He's not your typical really really small kid at the kicker spot. But I remember Gary holding him as a baby, saying, "This one's going to be on the Bob Hope Christmas special one year." His name is William Gary Reichard. That's Will's full name. And he was doing the impersonation of a Southern kid. He goes, "My name's Willie G. Reichard, All-American, Alabama." Holding him as a baby. Well, Willie G's grown up to be an All-American as a kicker. And you could hear from what Coach was saying, the respect he has for him, and the fact that, he never missed a kick his freshman year, I guess it was, or 2 years ago, that COVID year. Just unbelievable that you could, people love trying to find things to nitpick and say, well, there's no pressure. You're kicking for a great Alabama team. None of those kicks were with the game on the line. At the time you make kicks, you don't know if they're going to factor in or not. And still to be perfect, even if there's nobody else lined up against you, pretty impressive. But he's a kid who's done obviously great things and hopefully will continue to do so through his career.
I know this is old news, and I don't remember exactly, but the rat poison rant last week, was that on Hey Coach from Saban?
Yes.
Okay,
and
I thought
really
so.
And I will say, it gets publicized. Anytime Coach goes off, it gets publicized, and I get that. But he really... that's not how he was throughout the show, and it was a very brief, basically, statement in order to get everybody locked in for the game itself. But I don't think that lasted very long at all. It was not like it was a common theme throughout the show and that he was on edge and tense and tight throughout. It was a quick final, and it was during the part where he has the last word.
And
that was his last word to stay locked in.
And I was just curious. It wasn't what was running through your mind when he was doing that, or did you not care?
No. Here's the funny thing. He made a reference because he's talking about be where your feet are, which is a common theme we've heard him say many times. But he said we need to be at the church of what's happening now.
Yeah.
And even though he dropped an expletive in there a few seconds later, I was like, wait a minute, I've heard this. And when he finished, he kind of looks at you, and I said, "Coach, did you just quote Flip Wilson?" And if you're my age or older, you probably remember the Flip Wilson show from the early 70s, and it was kind of a variety show. And Flip Wilson did this character, and for those that don't know who Flip Wilson was, he was basically Kevin Hart 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put it in modern terms. But he had this variety show, and he would do these characters, and one of them was Reverend Leroy at his church, and it was called The First Church of What's Happening Now. That was the name of it. And so when he said The Church of What's Happening Now, I go, "Holy cow, Flip Wilson." And I ask him on air,
"Yeah,
did you just quote Flip Wilson?" And he goes, "I tried to." And then he grinned. So it was really funny. It was really cool. He goes, "I didn't think you'd get that." I'm shocked that I did as well, but I remember it. I got a brother that's coach's age, so I kind of grew up around that stuff as a kid. It was pretty neat.
But that's the stuff, and I'm not telling you don't already know, Chris, that's the stuff that people eat up on that show, right? Because you see that side of Saban that you rarely get to see when he's in full coach mode.
Thursday night is when he, I'm not going to say at his best, because frankly, I was with him Friday at a luncheon. He does his Nick at Noon luncheon with fans. It's a fundraiser for the Knicks kids charity that he and his wife have, that well attended, and they do about four of those Friday before home games during the year, and he's pretty laid back with that. But the radio show as well, is it's the first time that, as I've talked about before, the hay's in the barn, so to speak.
Right.
And he lets his hair down a little bit, and is fairly loose and pretty and very candid about, you know, the weekend and the anticipation, and he'll go a different route or two on some things. And it's really, you know, as a broadcaster, there's always work to be done. You got to hit timing and get spots in. It's why Tom Stipe is great, our producer, to make sure I'm doing that so I can kind of concentrate on the conversation with Coach. But it's really a fun show because of where he is in the course of his week, and he's there to interact. It's not an interview where you feel like you're taking him away from game prep. It's one that he enjoys and anticipates and is very much engaged in. And I've done it half dozen or more times over the years, because I've filled in on some of those Thursday nights for Eli in the past, and it can be a very enjoyable show.